Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Gorsh.
It's Ben Vanel.
Now, what pitch do you think Goofy mainly speaks at?
He talks like this, doesn't he?
Because if I was going to do a Goofy, which I don't have to, and neither did you.
Yes.
I just want to point out that you were under no duress to do that, and I don't like the choice that you made. Mm-hmm. But Gorsh.
That's really good.
Would be more.
Gorsh.
And let's do a Donald. Donald Duck is the hardest one to do.
I can't do him talking. I can only do him.
It's pretty easy to do when he's just wilding out, but yeah.
I could do it if you like go, "Hey everybody, it's me, Donald Duck," and then compress that to like a 16 kilobyte MP3.
Sure. Wow, that's really talented that you can do that. What do you think the person who does his voice is doing when they do it? How do you think they do it?
I reckon there's like 12 of them who can do it in the world, and it's just a fucked way that your throat is.
Okay.
I've heard, I don't remember who it was, but I do remember hearing a very good Donald Duck impression once on a TV show called The Adventures of Donald Duck.
I think you got to do it while exhaling.
Nah. But try and do words.
It's hard.
Say, "Hey, everybody, I'm Donald Duck."
It is hard.
Maybe they're like gargling water or something. Maybe they've got something in their mouth.
I got some water right here. Let's see if it works. All right. Just got to unscrew the water. Mm-hmm. Time to get some of the water in my mouth.
Glug, 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 glug. I think that's it.
Yeah, I reckon that's it. I think that's how they do it.
That's why. They have to get a different one every 3 weeks because they drown. Definitely. I got fucking water all in my beard.
I think this might be one of our patented unlistenable episodes, boys. Yes. We've done it again.
Yes.
Oh, God.
So we're in the Vanellodrome.
Yep.
Speaking of raspy throats and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
You've had a bit of an infection.
Yeah, I'm sick, boys. Mm-hmm.
Playing Kingdom Hearts actually made you sick.
Yeah. I don't feel great. I'm a little bit out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm hopped up on goofballs.
Hell yeah. Uh-huh.
On goofy balls.
Gosh, I'm fucked up.
See, you're right. When it's higher, it sounds like Mickey.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to be low.
Gosh, I'm fucked up, guys.
Exactly. You can do Mickey.
Wow.
Or I can do Goofy.
Come on, Sora.
You've got to be
Just
Donald.
Just follow me.
Oh, fuck.
Hey.
Why were you holding out on us this whole time? Take off those pants. I see a real Donald Duck here.
I had a dream. I remember having a dream when I was a little kid where I was Donald Duck. And I remember waking up and just being really upset that that wasn't real life.
Oh.
And a big part of it was me. I was like 8 or something going, "God damn, it would be fucking nice to just walk down the street without pants on."
Donald Duck doesn't have cancer.
When you get the test results.
Fucking hell.
Gorsh.
We're clawing our way back from unlistenable, boys.
I've never seen a red cell count this low.
Oh, no.
Let's wrap it up. I reckon that'll do.
I'm your Dr. Squall Leonhart.
Oh.
I wanted to throw a Final Fantasy one in there.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's not jump ahead.
Okay.
We got some news to get through.
Yeah, absolutely we do.
We got to rip into the Toontown Gazette before we get to the reviews.
Oh, I opened this paper and a big boxing glove punched me in the face. This Toontown Gazette is wacky as hell. Yeah, there's a few things that have happened.
Mm.
A couple. The most interesting things to me are things to do that are speaking towards where the next generation might be heading again. Yes. Interesting moves from Sony and from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Right. So, you know what I think is an interesting move? The moonwalk.
Interesting. It's not entertaining.
Cunt looks like he's going forwards, yeah, but he's going backwards.
Yeah. All right.
I think the backpack dance is better.
It's bamboozling.
Flossing. What if Michael Jackson
had, more interesting?
If Michael Jackson was still alive today, do you reckon he would floss?
I thought your question was going to be, do you think he would have invented flossing before that kid?
Do you think he would have tried to fuck the backpack kid? the Sony thing.
I feel like I'm hepped up on goofballs as well.
The Sony thing happened first. There was a patent filed by Sony, or a patent, as some people would call it.
I say patent.
I say patent. Let's call the whole thing off.
Mm-hmm. I say patent. It's back on.
So I don't really know what the patent is. Okay, I do, because I read the article as we were talking.
You're a really fast reader.
The patent would allow the CPU of the new console to be able to, and this is in quotes, interpret the central unit of the previous machines.
Right.
So basically that's
backwards compatibility. That's a long way of saying backwards compatibility.
Why is interpret in quotation marks?
That's what it's doing.
It could be that, or it could be something completely different.
No, it is interpreting.
Maybe it's being sarcastic with the quotation marks.
It's going to, really interpret what's
it's
going
literal.
On.
The PS1 was French. The PS2 was Spanish. PS3, German.
I thought they were all Japanese.
Nope.
To be honest.
The PS5, so this is, I mean, this is, it's not called a PS5, but a hypothetical future machine, would be able to do all of them. Put together.
Backwards compatibility for all four previous PlayStations.
For every single PlayStation that's existed up until this point. I don't know, they just released something that kind of falls in the realm of backwards compatibility, which is that PS1 classic thing, which is a train wreck.
Yeah, it's backwards compatible in that you can hack it and put anything on it. Yeah.
And ironically, it cannot hack it with the how it exists as a product.
I would put hack in quotation marks.
that word is real. Anytime it refers to me, hack is accurate.
Can so this kind of... Oh, go ahead, no, Tommy. No. Well, I was going to say, this speaks to the other piece of news, which I was going to segue into.
Right?
In case you want to have a little divergence before
I was
then.
More interested in how you patent backwards compatibility. It's a thing that already exists.
A method for doing it in the one machine, CPU is kind of it.
Yeah, okay.
Because they've done it before. Sorry, you say your thing first and then we'll go back around to this.
Well, I think it speaks to the next Sony console being one that can play every game that they've released.
Now, how do you figure?
And
based on what evidence?
Now, let me walk you back. potentially will be sort of future-proof as well. They kind of want this to be an everything box, right? Which I think sort of links into the other company we're going to talk about.
Oh, so this idea that it won't be after, so this next one, whatever it is, it won't be a thing that they then have to eventually replace and upgrade to. That'll be the box that you have forever.
Yes.
Interesting.
And everything, the way that phones have gone in the last, let's say, 7 years, it's more than that, but particularly in the last seven-ish, I'm saying when the iPhone 5 came out, I feel like that was the first one where people really got into the idea of, I am upgrading my phone every couple of years.
Yes.
And it's an iPhone the whole time and the same stuff pretty much works on it the whole time.
And you have one account that everything's synchronized.
Exactly.
To.
Yeah. I can use the same apps.
All your ex-girlfriends carried over from phone to phone.
Yeah.
That's all that's on there. But the same text messages sent at midnight every single night saying, how about now? But the
you only need to replace the screen for water damage from the tears.
But so this and the Microsoft thing is the other one where they've renamed Microsoft Studios as Xbox Game Studios. They've just announced some sort of Xbox thing that'll go on the Switch, which is mainly for crossplay things.
Yes.
But
only for crossplay,
But they for a while have been branching now into, hey, we're a service. Xbox is a brand that is Netflix equivalent, is what they are moving towards.
Yeah.
Sony seems to be getting the idea, seems to be jumping on the trolley. Like, this is probably the future, is everything is Netflix, but for each different type of media.
Meanwhile, Nintendo in their office looking out the window going, ooh, a dog in the park.
What if we got back into that fake Lego we used to make? No, we already released Labo, sir.
They, it was a weird headline to see Xbox Live is now on Switch, because people immediately start going, does this mean we're going to be able to play Halo? Absolutely not. No, fucking idiot.
But, like, why not one day?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can fucking play Sonic on a Switch.
That's true.
Sega used to be the thing. Like, shit changes, man.
Yeah.
Life moves forward.
He's got us there, Ben.
Shit does change.
The more it moves forward, the more we have to look backward into our history, which Sony is getting prepared. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Sony is getting prepared. I would love that. I would love to be able to play every game. Everyone knows that I have a big problem with...
I'd love $1 million.
Exactly.
What?
And this is one step towards that happening.
Not a crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
Everyone would love it.
If we patent the magic box that can play everything idea, you'll have your $1 million, pal. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. It's more having access to being able to legally acquire an entire history of games is fucking sick.
Mm. Yeah.
And the fact that they're putting work into doing that, because the PS4 had none out of the box.
Yep.
That you can buy PS2 games and stuff, but they're all like crammed on there through emulation or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're like, not remake, but they have to like specifically put
You can't put a PS2 disc into a PS4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to rebuy them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're expensive for you know, what they are. The PS2 could play PS1 games natively. Mm-hmm. The original PS3 could play 2 and 1.
Yes, but then after they re-released it, which was pretty soon as well, you couldn't. I got one of those shitty ones.
It was all hardware in it, so that's the only... It'd be cool if you could play everything everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is ultimately it. And it looks like that's where everything's moving. And if everyone could play everything everywhere is also cool. Mm-hmm. That's the other bit of news. I thought it was cool that Microsoft, they bought a Super Bowl ad to promote their... accessible controller thing that they've got, which I think is cool.
Yes.
Everything's going in the right direction.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm sure that would have put it on a lot of people's radars who didn't know about it otherwise. Yeah. I've essentially just described what advertising is.
The benefit of a Super Bowl ad.
Or of any ad.
It exposed it to a large group of people.
It's like people turn on the TV, something comes on, they have no control over when it comes onto their screen.
All right,
I've never
Don
heard of this
Draper.
Before. This is cool. Don Draper, who started working there yesterday.
That'd be so funny, him like smoking a cigarette, doing the big speech where he's like, all we've got to do is tell people that the product exists and they'll buy it.
What the fuck was that?
It was my watch talking again.
What did it say?
She said, did you accidentally summon me? Mate, I'm recording
a dangerous game, Siri.
I don't know if you can hear her, but she said, you don't seem to be playing anything right now. And motherfucker, you're damn right I ain't playing.
You're playing him for a fool.
Quit talking to me,
everyone. Yeah, mine doesn't do that. Maybe I turned it off.
I didn't know the watch did talk somehow. To you. The watch can do Siri if you like move your wrist wrong.
Right.
So I'm sorry for that.
Oh, yeah, I had that. My fat wrist kept pushing the button in.
And maybe that's what I was doing, Oh, no, there she is again. I got to stop moving. I'm going to take the watch off.
We're back into unlistenable territory. Yes. We did it. Yes. We had it too good for too long. 3 minutes.
What else happened? There's a couple of other things, but we'll talk about them more when we talk about what we've been playing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those were like the big things that I thought like, oh, it's interesting. I mean, it's that sort of news where it's like nothing, probably a rumor, and there are a million patents all the time that don't really go anywhere.
Totally. It's weird speculative kind of news that hints at what's to come without it. I mean, we say this heaps, but we are really in that midpoint of like big things are about to change with games, and we just really are in that sort of, the eye of the storm, I guess, kind of.
The storm with... We're not in the storm.
No.
The storm's on its way.
Yeah, the storm's on the horizon. When we're in the storm is when, like, we've got a new console and we know what it is. And but it's not that exciting.
But in the sense that, like, the companies, they, you know, they would have been talking about this for a couple of years now. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe
they might work out how to do it.
Maybe they've just been sitting around the whole time going, like, fuck, what next?
Yeah, okay.
PS 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know what to do next.
Let's go to lunch. Think this over.
Interesting that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
Oh, get ready.
I don't think you'll be needing to open your mouths for a little while.
All right, I'm going to preemptively open my mouth here just to save a little time.
In the lead up to the Switch, a lot of these patent leaks and stuff turned out to be completely accurate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? I'll close my mouth again. Some of them did, for sure. Like the stuff of it having a screen attached to the controller or like being the screen.
Yeah, like a little stand. A lot of the portability stuff was leaked early. Like,
yeah,
a lot of that stuff we were saying this about on this show, which is the first time I'd paid attention to this shit.
Yeah.
Like in such a specific way. And it mostly turned out to be true. So
it all just kind of makes sense too. When you look at the way everyone consumes media now, it's all subscription models. Like I wonder what Blu-ray sales are like. Now.
Yeah.
And Sony would have those fucking numbers. So, you know, that the writing, to coin a phrase,
yes,
the writing is on my penis. Who cares to read it? It's going to take a while for it to be legible. You're going to have to wait. The writing is on the wall of where everything's going, where people want to have a thing they consume their media through, probably a phone. Mm-hmm. At some point.
You don't have to shake your phone at us to make us understand.
He's going to set
the point.
Siri off again.
And make your stuff available on there.
Yeah.
They'll make a box too, though. There will be another Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we were talking a while ago about the thing of being able to stream games that are being played remotely that you're just controlling, and how if that technology and internet got good enough to handle that, then you would never need, it wouldn't matter what the specs are of the box that you have in your house.
Yeah.
The dream.
It's just a conduit. That would be great.
I want to have a big fucking nice looking list, like that Switch thing with the NES games, of all my games that I go scroll through on a phone and then don't play any of them because there's too many and I get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I did that the other night. I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to sit down and put a movie on. Mm-hmm. Spent an hour just scrolling through Netflix, didn't pick anything and went, that'll do it. Probably bedtime now. Fuck. Sit in bed and stare at the phone for 45 minutes and then off to Nine Eyes.
I ended up watching Cars the other night because I did
the same thing.
For like for like half an hour, I scrolled.
I should get sick more often.
It's nice.
I scrolled.
I'm in sicko mode.
I scrolled through for like half an hour and at some point played Cars because it was the one that I was on when I went, fuck it.
Yeah.
I just stuck with it and it was all right.
Okay.
It's fine.
Cars. I've never seen
Cars. Yeah.
It's all right. I watched some of the second one the other night because I was like, oh, I actually kind of liked Cars. It was all right. Second one's fucking weird. The first one's like, you know, he goes out into the desert and he's a hotshot racer, but he ends up making friends and learning the power of human or car relationships.
Yes.
The second one is like a secret agent movie.
Right.
With the tow truck?
The tow truck's in all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes. A simple yes is all I need, Adam.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the tow truck is in that one.
But yeah, that's so games will maybe just drop out of nowhere in the future too, like things do on Netflix.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that actually kind of happened this week. What a crazy coincidence.
Wow.
I think you did as well, Ben. I played some of Apex
Legends,
Apex Gang.
Yeah, no.
It is a game about the streets of Melbourne and how difficult it is to go to a restaurant in our fair city. the Apex Legends is... So it fucking isn't a Titanfall game.
Not at all. And the Respawn guys and girls have been very... clear about that.
It's flat out said Titanfall 3 isn't in development.
Yeah.
We never said anything about this game because we thought people would hate it if we put on paper what it is.
Yes.
Which is a loot-driven battle royale, free-to-play.
First person, yeah.
Yeah.
Squad-based.
Yeah.
Three-person squads.
Which you're forced into.
Yeah.
There's no solo mode, which is my... it's not... It's set in the Titanfall universe.
Mm.
There's no Titans.
No, there's
no
wall running. Which is, there's no double jumps.
No, there feels nothing like a Titanfall game.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
Except it's well designed and well made and fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I think we both only played a little bit. It's only been out for a few hours while we're recording this.
Yeah.
It's super battle royale-y. It's a lot like the Call of Duty one.
Right.
It's okay. I find it a little bland, honestly.
Right.
Having played a couple of these at this point, it's so inspired by the success of Fortnite
yeah.
to me, because it's a little cartoony. It's a the different thing about it from the other ones is that you've got like kind of Overwatch-ish style hero characters.
Yeah, yeah, classes basically. Yeah, yeah.
There's eight of them. They each have like one ability, I think, and it's like you can shoot a zip line with one. You can put down a thing that heals everybody with another.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple little skills like that. You force into a squad of three and then you do the battle royale thing of try and kill everybody else without being killed yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
The ring closes in. Like it has everything. It has all the tropes. Yeah.
All the different little sections of the map that are all titled like refinery or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the specific ones they've got.
Sounds like they were pretty smart to drop it in the way that they did. Because I definitely can see how, on paper, it would have been a thing where people... Because if it comes out of nowhere, like, people are immediately just going to, like, at the very least, out of curiosity, go, oh, I'll give it a go.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas if you hype it and lead into it, people just too much time to make up their minds and decide that they don't want to bother with it.
I agree. And by then, it's... I feel like it has nothing to set itself apart, really, from any of the others.
It doesn't have the movement stuff of the what are they called? Pilots?
Yeah.
Pilots. The pilots in Titanfall, which was so much fun.
So why don't you think that's in there? Why do you think that's not in there?
So their explanation for it is that the game wasn't as fun with it there,
That doesn't make any sense.
So for the battle royale type of thing where you've got to be... Your place, your positioning is a big part of it. And if you can quickly move around and zip about and all that sort of stuff... I guess it changed it up enough that it didn't work.
Yeah, I can kind of see it from the point.
But like, you've got to have
with that.
Long view lines, long sight lines, right? And if you've got a lot of wall running stuff, you've got a lot of walls everywhere. So it makes it kind of, all the Titanfall maps are pretty segmented. Even if they're big, they're all quite like hallway-ish, corridor-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can kind of see that. But then also it speaks to how much they're not designing their own game. They are copying the design of another game.
Yes. Yeah,
not having the Titans in there as well is fucking nuts.
Yeah,
like
just and maybe like re-releasing or updating the Titanfall 2 multiplayer and adding a battle royale mode or just do that.
Yeah.
Like people want that. Like this is good. I think this is a well-made free game.
Sure,
but I would have loved that.
And this would have gotten lost in the news cycle if they hadn't have dropped it like this as well. People would have been bored of it before it came out.
Yeah,
if it hadn't have. Just suddenly come out lemonade style like this. But it's pretty flat in terms of how it compares to other games in this genre. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The price is right. It's free.
For sure.
All the microtransaction stuff is all optional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like being forced into threes.
I didn't mind that.
Right.
Because what I had really disliked about the times I played PUBG and Fortnite... And I haven't played Blackout yet, but I've got it.
Yeah.
Is when I'll land somewhere and I'll walk around by myself for 15 minutes and then die.
See, I love that shit. Not the dying part as much, but like being spooked when you're going around every corner, you know, like checking over your shoulder. I like that feeling of isolation in like a hostile environment.
Right. See, I really took to this, the play that I had. Because it was me and two other random people and we're like climbing up to the tops of things and spotting for each other and running around and collecting loot and you can tag things just with your reticule.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that element of it. I still had the same thing of like we'd finally find like six other people and we'd die immediately. But even just like running around as a little squad was pretty fun to me.
But you had some little buddies while you were getting mercilessly gunned down in the middle of nowhere.
You can do the squad stuff and all the other ones as well. I'd like to have the option to do a solo one.
Right.
But whatever, they didn't want you to do it. And it's fine. Yeah. I just like, the shooting's okay too.
Mm.
Same, it pretty much feels like Titanfall.
Yeah.
Are they working on Titanfall 3? Did they
no,
say that?
So they specifically said they are not.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
They're working on that Star Wars thing still.
Okay.
Jedi...
Force or something?
Force? Fallen Order.
Yeah, that's right.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Just saying Force in relation to a Star Wars game. Really going out on a limb there.
Playing Luke? A drinking game where you've just got to say Star Wars things.
Jar Jar Binks.
Overrated. It is. Every single one of them is.
Tweet at Adam G. Knox.
Yeah.
Gamers rise up.
I got a big opinion. So yeah, it's okay and it's free. So why not try it and see if you like it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you also played a game that I am interested to hear about called Wargroove.
Yeah. So I hate the name, first of all.
Same.
Because I thought it was going to be a rhythm game. Right. Reading about it. Right. Yeah. Wargroove is a sick name for a rhythm game.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
Imagine hitting your little, you know, slice in with one guitar button.
Yes.
And so on.
There is a game called Beat Saber. It's a VR game that is that.
Yeah, you're cutting up blocks in that, not people. Yes. I want to cut up people.
Did you guys ever play Elite Beat Agents?
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Osu Otaku Oendon. Sorry. I was talking to the PS2 there, so I needed an interpreter. No, that was the Japanese one where they were like cheerleaders and Elite Beat Agents came over here, and that was like the American version. So there's two Japanese ones that all have different songs, different everything.
That's You'd why love I looked them. At you so blankly when you just said a random Japanese sentence.
I think I got the name wrong too.
Right.
But yeah, that was sick. And Wargroove.
Wargrames.
Wargrames starring Matthew Broderick is Wargroove is Advance Wars.
Yeah,
much.
So it's the Stardew Valley people.
Yeah.
And oh, okay.
Because Advance Wars is a franchise that has had nothing done with it for
10 years
or something. Yeah. So it's just a bit of a case of people going like, oh, well, if we want a new one, I guess we'll just have to fucking make it ourselves, won't we?
And they absolutely have. Yeah. It's all right. I'm not minding it. Like, it's a medieval fantasy setting rather than tanks and shit.
Yes.
So that is the biggest thing that puts me off it.
My least favorite thing about it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I much prefer the whole aesthetic style of Advance Wars, which I think is very cool and unique.
Yeah.
A very, like, anime approach to, like, yeah, tanks and stuff is really cool. And I don't know, the medieval thing is just, it's a dime a dozen. And at the moment, I'm still sort of playing a bit of Fire Emblem, which is what the makers of Advance Wars have been focusing their efforts on since they stopped making Advance Wars.
Right.
And that's kind of medieval. So it's
and
like,
this
well,
is
yeah.
Fire Emblem as well as being Advance Wars.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
And it's the look of it isn't amazing either. It's the same sort of pixel arty thing. It does have an anime-ish flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about it where it looks thin.
Okay.
It looks like a little kind of there was something chunky.
You're body shaming this game.
Unaccepted. There was something chunky and cool about Advance Wars, but this just looks
something sort of thick. You could say.
I guess thick is what I would say. Yeah. I wouldn't spell it with a K though, because
no,
it's. I don't mean. But like. I really don't know how to describe what I mean. It looks brittle.
Right, okay.
I'm just not gelling with some sort of aspect of its design where it feels a lot like another team made an imitation of something.
Right.
You
right,
know?
Right. I mean, yeah, I would if it was the same sort of style as Advance Wars in terms of tanks and stuff and not medieval,
yeah.
I would have definitely gone in. But it's really that's enough to hold me back and go,
gameplay of it is good though.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of the different units have just like a fun little gimmick, each of them where you've got to go like, oh, okay. Because they all have like a condition on them where they will be more effective if this thing is fulfilled.
Right.
So it's like if another unit of the same type is standing next to it, it'll be powered up.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
so
Fire Emblem has a lot of that.
Considering all of that stuff and, like, doing that sort of top-down tactical turn-based battling stuff is just fun. It's a fun type of game.
I agree. Playing Fire Emblem made me, remember how much I like that.
Now, tell me, I just want to ask you one question. Have you played Fire Emblem recently?
Give it a fucking rest. Give it a fucking rest, mate.
Leave it out.
Leave it out, mate. So I played it on the Switch. I think it's out on other stuff too. But I'm enjoying it.
Mm.
It's a pretty, like, it's a B-movie version of Advance Wars.
Mm.
So I'm not super into the Jerry Seinfeld character in there.
Sure.
I think you make a B-movie joke once an episode.
Better up that to twice, I suppose. I don't have a second B-movie joke.
You see that new B-movie meme that's out there?
About the new one?
How must that the guy feel, the human guy feel, that his wife leaves him for a bee?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Is that a meme?
It's more of a bad one-liner.
Yeah, are you trying your own stand-up on us?
I never want you to workshop a meme in front of me again.
No, I saw it. I saw it, for real. Or I hallucinated it in my fever last night.
It's like I'm really excited for that tiny metal game that was similar to this, but it was actually tanks and stuff. And yes. That game was horrible.
Yeah. This one definitely plays well.
Yeah.
I don't have a huge amount to say about it beyond if I were to just describe what Advance Wars is. But I feel like a lot of people are across that or Fire Emblem.
Yep.
It's that Excuse sort of
have
thing.
You, have you played Fire Emblem Rux? Or
well, I actually have a friend who's been playing Fire Emblem a lot lately.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, yes.
I wish he'd pipe up then.
He should actually tell people about it. It's really weird that he doesn't every few seconds. Fucking calling me out for making a lot of B movie jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're turning
Imagine
to each
repeating
other.
Yourself. Yeah, it's all right. I'm not like. Even if you loved Advance Wars, you probably won't get super into this one because it's just like, it's not quite there. And I think the fact that it's almost Advance Wars almost makes it more difficult to get into because it's not quite what you want. You know,
I mean, that's kind of how I felt about Stardew Valley because it was doing that, but with kind of Animal Crossing / Harvest Moon kind of thing. And yeah, I remember just feeling like it just wasn't. It just didn't quite – like all the elements were there and it had done a faithful job of being, you know, doing that again. But yeah. it just didn't quite click for me. It did. It felt like, an imitation. It was like, oh, he's put this in because that's the sort of thing that's in that game, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay and it's not complicated and they've not tried to make it, you know, its own thing. It is very much a top-down strategy turn-based game in a manner of Advance Wars and Fire
Just Apple. Less substantial.
Yeah, just a little part, you know, like descriptive word.
Like less substantial.
Yeah, like a little.
I mean, if you want to play.
Forgettable.
Right.
Forgettable then.
Forget. Dairy, baby. I was inhaling it.
If you want to play a version of it that's a bit more substantial, there's this game I've got I could lend you.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
3DS.
3DS, huh? Yeah. Still got one of those.
Mm.
What's it called?
What's the game called?
Better to just put the cartridge in and just play. I don't want you to have any notions.
Such
about
a vague,
it.
Vague suggestion. I don't even know where to start to look for it.
Well, I mean, you know, I think you'd have a good time with it. What it doesn't matter what it's called. Isn't my word good enough for you? Why do you need to know the title? What difference does it make?
Well, I just like to know what I'm getting myself into.
What do you mean you need to know? I'm telling you, isn't my word good enough? I'm telling you, you'll really enjoy it.
Are you more substantial than
this War Groove?
What if I've already played it though, or something like that? Have you played it?
I've definitely played it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it rhyme with?
Ooh, interesting. It rhymes with Gaia.
Okay.
Is that a word?
Or I didn't like expect you to Gaia? Fuck up on that one.
Gaia Blemblem.
Oh.
Fuck, what?
Blemblem I expected. Yeah. Gaia I definitely
I mean, Liar, it might not make sense what I'm doing now. It might not make sense why I've said it now, but I'm planning a few moves ahead, which is the kind of strategy you have to do in a fantastic game Fire Emblem Awakening on the 3DS.
And how's that treating you? You still playing it?
That's all right.
Okay, cool.
I actually haven't played it for like 3 weeks.
the other problem with Wargroove actually is that there's a lot of nostalgia in my head for Advance Wars, and I think it's that sort of thing where you can't go home again. If you played something when you were like a lower end teenager, you're not able, if they made a modernized, updated version of it,
you wouldn't be able to be objective about it.
I don't think there's any way that you could look at it with a straight face, look it in the eye, and say, hey, you're not great.
Yeah. Anyway, I've been playing Gaia Blemblem and it's awful.
I will say, I was looking up the Advance Wars kind of franchise recently.
Yes.
Because I didn't know, apart from the...
I'm so mad we went back to Advance Wars after that, but all right.
Apart from the Game Boy Advance one, I couldn't remember what other ones were in the franchise. And one of the last couple that they did, they sort of changed the art style and it looks awful.
Days of Ruin. I played that one and it was weird. It was like post-apocalyptic and none of the fun of the other ones.
Sounds like game is ruined.
Whoa. That is a Gaia call.
Wow. How'd you rhyme those two words together like that?
It wasn't very good. It was like, because part of the thing with Advance Wars is it had that bright, cool, like fun vibe to it. Days of Ruin came out in the middle of like the Gears of War is the biggest game in the world time, where everything was like, oh, fuck. You know, that's me being a fucking bender. Gear. What's his name? Bender.
Marcus.
Just that for fucking like 6 years. Fucking big men getting hurt.
Under grey skies.
Oh, you fucking bugs.
I think he's enjoying this quite a lot.
Yeah.
Speculative, but I think you might be having a good time.
It's the fucking dumb noises they have to sit there and make.
Yeah. This episode's devoted to voice work.
I shouldn't have been recording this one from on the toilet. All right.
He tags it with a...
Anyway, speaking of toilets.
Yeah.
What did you say you've been playing?
Kingdom Blarts 3.
Yeah. Mickey keeps tripping over.
Yeah, I've been playing Kingdom Hearts 3. Tommy, you've been playing Kingdom
Me
Hearts 3.
Me too. Yep.
So I've played... Neither of you have ever played a Kingdom Hearts game before, other than this one, right?
I played the start of one.
Me
right.
too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For about how long?
Not that long, but we, sure.
like
yeah,
an hour
we did
or
that
two.
Patreon episode
yeah.
about it.
Did so we? Oh, that's right, because I was the only fucking... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we
so
started it and you finished it.
I played through all of Kingdom Hearts 1
yeah.
last year. I fucking hated it. Mm. Maybe it was a year before even. I yeah. really didn't enjoy that game.
Can we get a quick refresher? Because I have been... that's been very much at the forefront of my mind, mainly yeah. because you... I think I told you the day I bought it and you were like, I hated the first one and you're going to hate this one. Can we get a refresher on what exactly you hated about number one?
So I wanted to do that just to give a little bit of context where we as a podcast stand on the franchise.
I'm
so
glad that you
Tommy,
wanted to do that.
Tommy, stop trying to distract me and make me do something else.
I'm going to have to veto this, guys.
Kingdom Hearts 1 is bad because the story and the way it's presented is bad.
Okay,
every part of
check.
The gameplay is fucking dull. Mm-hmm. Or it's either dull or frustrating or like it feels as unfinished. The movement was just unpleasant. The whole tone of it was like kind of creepy, just like a weirdly off-putting vibe to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's about it. I was going to keep going for a while longer, but really that's
the
whole
you covered
game.
The story and the gameplay. That is all there is to the game.
And it did. It looked worse than it should have as well. Like all the Disney and Final Fantasy stuff didn't gel well. I mean, like the aesthetic of it.
Yeah,
it looked
sure.
like it was a PS2 game, but like... It the whole concept of it wasn't delivered on. It wasn't followed through.
Right.
They went like, this other fucking character is just textured with like a mod to make him look like Mickey Mouse, mm-hmm. but there's nothing Disney-ish about any of what's going on here.
Okay. So I overall in what I've played, yeah. I have enjoyed it.
How far in
I'm
are you?
4 hours in.
Okay.
Four and a bit hours in.
Okay. All right.
I am enjoying it. I think that the storyline is garbage,
yeah.
but also I'm coming to this having not, you know, I know that. So I think people who are into Kingdom Hearts, they love this one.
Right.
I think what I've seen is people feeling, and a lot of that is nostalgia and everything,
yeah.
but a lot of people feeling like this game has taken so long to come out and everything that this kind of tying up of this storyline that they've been invested with for 17 years or whatever it is.
Because even though this is Kingdom Hearts 3, it's Kingdom Hearts like 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people feel, I think that, yeah, long-term fans feel very kind of like, you know, validated by this and they're very much enjoying it. Even though people who've played all of them will still tell you, I at the best of times sort of don't really get a lot of what's going on.
Sure.
Right. In terms of the story.
So yeah. I think all of that stuff is just, I mean, it's just bullshit. It is getting to the point where it's starting to break me, like to yeah. begin with it.
Oh, brother, wait till you're 8 hours in.
Well, because even in the first one, there's a whole bunch of like, Sora, the Heartless, control the gummy verse and just like God. The dumb mashup, like the idea of Final Fantasy and Disney is kind of funny because yeah. it doesn't work, but if they've managed to do it in a way that just doesn't work
yeah, yeah.
rather than being funny in the first one again,
I will
this
say
is
that
15 year old
to begin with I was kind of happy to go along with that. I
sure.
was like, this is stupid, but I'm just gonna buy in. I don't care, like, yes, it's dumb, all the stuff about, you know, people being trapped in each other's hearts and stuff. I just kind of went with it and I yeah. wasn't minding it. But the point that I'm at, the volume of cutscenes is just so relentless that
yeah.
for stuff that you don't care about or have any attachment to, I was like, I can give this a pass and just let this wash over me. And I was enjoying the ludicrousness of it. I was like, this is great. I'm into how fucked this is.
Right.
But it's now, it's just, I turn it on and all I'm doing is just sitting and watching that for like often what feels like 15 to 20 minutes at a time. I'm having it, it's sort of broken me, all that right. really over the top element of it. But I will say that the Disney element of it I am really into. That's the main thing that is that's really the only thing that's making me enjoy it.
And is that just seeing things from those movies and hearing the music that is in those movies?
It's the weird crossover of it. Right. Like it, when you're in battle and you've got Goofy and Donald calling out to you, I think that's cool. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I really enjoy those bits of it. Mm. I enjoy the bit where you're in a, you know, the fact that you'll be in this, the weird mashup element of it. So like the way that you craft items is the rat from Ratatouille runs a restaurant and he cooks for you and he has a restaurant because Scrooge McDuck financed it. Mm. Stuff like that. I'm like, that's cool.
That's that is cool. And like House of Mouse was a great cartoon. Mm. Yeah. Do you remember House of Mouse?
Yes. Mm.
Where
yes.
all of the Disney characters lived together. That worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
If this was a game that if this didn't have any of the history to it and it was a game where you're a little kid running around all these different Disney worlds that are interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And if the combat felt different,
yeah,
I would fucking love it.
So that's what the first one is, and it's bad.
I don't think the combat is necessarily...
No, the combat isn't that different, but it is just, here's this kid in Disney worlds.
Yeah, right.
But then
they
still manage to put on their bullshit throughout that one anyway.
I feel like, for me, the main thing with the combat, I don't feel like it controls badly or that it's not... It's fine.
Yeah.
The thing that I find weirdest about it is that, and I think from my memory of playing that bit of the first one, this is kind of a holdover from that. It just has this, what do you think of this, Ben? I think it has a weird feeling of weightlessness to it where the battles end up being pretty unsatisfying because when you connect and when you're wiping out all these waves of enemies, you don't feel like you've connected. You don't feel like you've destroyed. You know, you want to feel like God of War has the balance of weight just perfect where you feel like you've absolutely destroyed someone.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you just feel like you're just waving a sword through smoke. Like it doesn't have any kind of...
Not that this is an action game in the same way. Like it is a menu-driven RPG kind of. So it's like... But it's in a weird halfway point, it seems like.
That's really... I hate that about the combat.
Yeah.
Where it's...
To select magic and stuff. Yeah, that sucks.
It's so unintuitive. It's so stupid. It breaks the flow of combat every time you have to think about it.
It breaks the flow of combat. But the other thing about it that's sort of stupid is that you don't even need... You don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can just... You can just swing your keyblade. It doesn't
You can press
matter.
X.
Yeah.
Constantly the whole way through this game. You could just... That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And if only you could do that to skip the cutscenes. Fuck me, there's so many.
So you're further in, Ben.
I'm too far in, honestly.
Yeah.
So I kind of experienced this in the reverse way. I hated it at the start. I hated the cutscenes. I hated the weird mashup story stuff, the lore.
This one opens as well with another dumb weird song, FMV thing.
And a weird clip show recap of everything that's come beforehand.
Right.
Like really off-putting. And then, I was dropped into it and I was like, oh, I hate this. I've been sitting here for 40 minutes and... The movement's shit. The first world that you're in is so bare and poorly designed. It looks like a game from 2009.
Yes. It is.
Well, like that's it. This would be an average game if it came out 5 years ago.
Right.
And I 4 hours, 8 hours in, 4 hours further than you, Tommy, the worlds that I've been to now are not much more interestingly designed. They're still pretty bare.
Right.
And like, I know they're not meant to be like fucking The Last of Us or
like big Mario platforming levels or whatever, really.
Well, they're not even as detailed as those.
Yeah.
Is the weird thing. Like they're meant to be little hub worlds and little sort of funneled sections where you do missions and slightly more open areas. They're all like half designed, half filled out, half detailed.
They're very linear. I mean, you're going down a passage for a little bit and then a swarm comes up.
For a game made up of linear sections, you'd think they would put more effort into making them detailed and look interesting.
And I mean, it's interesting in the case. So the first world that you're in is Mount Olympus, so Hercules' world. And in that, I guess it's maybe a little bit to do with the fact that it's a 2D Disney cartoon that they've had to upgrade into a 3D style of CGI, which it's not originally. So the simplicity there, you could almost, I guess, not forgive, but it does go some way to justifying. But there are also still ways to still make it more detailed and more interesting.
You'd think that you'd be like, great, I get this opportunity to fill out this world.
Yes.
This is 2019. This is a brand new game. We've been working on it for 20 years.
Yeah.
Let's make that interesting and detailed. And
I got a flat
rich
character, so let's put some cool lighting on them so that they look thick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thick with two big C's, not thin. Skinny bit. Fuck the skinny bitches. Nah, I don't agree with Nikki. Anyway.
But yes, you could explain that away as being a stylistic thing, but I would have liked that to be a bit more detailed even then.
Yeah.
And then combat-wise, you can just mash X. What I've realized, and it's obvious now, this is basically Final Fantasy 15 with Disney on top.
Yeah.
Like the combat is exactly the same except less interesting. Those little, you build up the companion sort of special attacks. Otherwise, you're just zipping around, kind of following enemy to enemy, attacking them over and over again.
It looked cooler in that to me, though, than any of the Kingdom Hearts game I've played, which is not, because like the enemy design was interesting and you were in these cool looking areas and the characters were saying stuff.
As soon as I realized that, the comparison of the landscapes and the environment and the insubstantial nature of the combat became more apparent, because it's like in Final Fantasy 15, it felt like you were having a fight.
Yeah.
I felt like with Final Fantasy 15, though, like I found it really, the combat really hard to get on with, to a point where it was really fucking me up and I was just constantly losing battles.
Right.
Whereas this, that's not happening at all. Like, mm-hmm. I still am in not doing any of the, like, going through the menus on the fly thing.
Yeah.
I'm still able to just absolutely cruise through a battle by just mashing X, which I felt like I wasn't able to do in Final Fantasy 15. Yeah, maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but
I agree with that. It was a little,
it's just a difficulty thing.
But is a good thing about Final Fantasy 15, I would say.
Yeah.
There was a bit more depth. Like, you had to use magic because this boss was harder and it had an elemental weakness or whatever. This, there's none of that. There's no complexity to it.
But so then, the story, what has been your experience, like, other than it just being like uninteresting or
it's
bad with the story?
So poorly executed. Every cutscene is like, "Hello, Sora, what do you think of this new clothes?"
Yeah.
"Well, I guess it's a pretty good pair of clothes."
Gosh.
Like, it's slow. It's so slow.
See, anytime it's a Disney character saying all that stupid bullshit, I can forgive it, because it's just so bizarre. I'm like, I just love that this exists. Yeah. Like, from a licensing point of view and everything, that's the thing that was mostly getting me by. I was like, how wild is it that we live in a world where they've allowed this to happen?
The Ready Player One model.
Yeah. Yes. So anytime Goofy is saying stuff about friendship and all that stuff, I'm like, this is sick. And then as soon as it's just the Square characters talking, I'm like, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Because they're not even Final Fantasy characters, really. They're just a bunch of fucking original big hair characters going like, "The Heartless."
I don't like the design of them much either. I think in terms of like anime-ish, their eyes all look weird.
The Heartless are shit.
Heartless are bad.
Heartless are bad. I'm saying the human characters.
The Soulless are shit.
Yeah.
The Donald and Goofy and Mickey and stuff, I'm on board with.
Yeah.
But like fucking the Toy Story level, like it, like Woody and Buzz sound like they've had serious head injuries.
Well, it's
like
Tom's brother.
Really?
Tom Hanks's brother does all the Woody voices outside of the main movies.
It's, well, I guess it's more the pacing of the dialogue then. It doesn't sound normal.
Right. That was a problem in the first one too, where exactly like that impression you did before, that pacing of like, we're weirdly talking.
"No, but I don't want to be weirdly talking to you." Well, Woody, I guess the Star Command is going to give me a mission.
Is it like the first one where after every line it would like hang on their face for a bit too long?
Yes.
So they'd like go, "Hey,
well, Buzz, we gotta help this kid."
Beat. Then a camera change. It's really weird, right?
Yeah. I feel like why that looks so weird is maybe because that's a I think that's kind of a bit of an anime thing. Like, that's kind of, anime is kind of paced that way, and so it's this
Every anime that I have seen, every piece of Japanese animation I have seen cuts incredibly quickly between the tentacle and the it goes like do blah blah, and it's back and forth.
I think it's probably a localization issue.
Maybe
just like they haven't retimed the scenes for the shorter sentences, maybe.
So write a longer sentence is the answer, though. You've got to go like, so Woody, what do you want to do to get out of here, buddy? And you reply.
But yeah, that's that Toy Story, the Toy Story segment especially, because so before that it's Hercules, generic town.
Twilight Town.
That's
what is Twilight Town?
It's their just place. It's,
right, okay.
Yeah. Is it? I assumed it was like some part of Disney World.
It's from the first one for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And that's actually kind of interestingly designed. I didn't mind that.
Yep.
But then I think, Toy Story, you're like, fuck yeah, this is going to be great. And the fact that it's at best meh is very disappointing.
Yeah, that was all of them in the first one was, here's this big arena that's just been coated with Disney paint.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with Disney. And like I said, like the fucking old like Doom levels that would replace all the enemies with Barney the Dinosaur and whatever. Yeah. It feels like that to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I did realize that where I was like...
Again, I'm reviewing the first one again, but the third one doesn't seem to be super different.
Yeah. I at the point where I was like, I think I'm really enjoying this, I then realized it's just all the Disney stuff. I'm like, this feels cool. I think the music is good. I think the music orchestral is I felt like that, I was like, this is making me feel like a little kid. This is pretty cool. Like being in battles and Goofy yelling out and coming to help you, that's all cool. And then realizing, if this just had any different coat of paint, I would have lasted 15 minutes. I wouldn't have even made it out of the first section.
Yeah. I will say the I don't like this game, but the more I play it, the easier it is for me to just keep playing it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it.
You kind of switch off, right? Yeah. And you kind of just go like, okay. It, like a fucking kid watching a Disney movie for the 20th time and they're drooling and they're fucking gross, dumb little kids. But, you get enamored by it because it has some sort of bright enough color that you do keep watching it.
Yes.
I honestly feel like it's more like... It doesn't really feel like an RPG to me. It feels more like Streets of Rage or something, where it's just like you walk to a bit and then there's just heaps of people and you just push the same button to wipe them out.
I reckon the closest comparison, apart from Final Fantasy 15, which it's like I literally – it's the same basic engine with a different coat of paint. This reminds me of God of War 3 in the same way – like the same era.
Right.
Like it's some sort of interesting cinematic – moments, some large scale bosses.
The God of War stuff was better than any, like it was him better, yelling like Zeus, I'm gonna kill you, buddy.
That was so dumb that it was fun. This is something else entirely. Right.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying though about it being awful but more-ish.
It's like a pack of gummy bears.
Yeah.
Which is easy to play.
Yeah, totally. It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And I mean it is. It's weird to play a game that is a sequel that really, really, really hinges on having been invested with this franchise the whole way through. It feels like it's pretty rare. I mean, a lot of franchises and sequels now are like complete resets of characters, or at the very least, a softish reboot where you can come in at any number and they'll give you a bit more of a tutorial.
Because people
want to
sell
setup.
Games.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. This I can't really think of anything else that's come along in the last little while that is just like it so has you at arm's length if you've not had anything to do with this franchise before. It's so rare.
Metal Gear Solid 4 was that.
Okay.
Right.
And I respected the hell out of it.
I played Metal Gear Solid 4 having only played the first one beforehand and was like, this is a good enough game that I am going to go along with this.
Sure. The story, fair enough.
Yeah. So, but like I said, the people that love this franchise, by all accounts, love this.
Yeah.
Are really into it.
Yeah.
So, I guess that means it's successful
It's so weird. It's such a weird, element of video games as a medium. Because, I've been reading a bunch of reviews of this. And even the negative ones are kind of like, well, this is a very confusing series of games and I understand the nostalgia factor here, and boy, how can I even say if this is good or bad? It's like, well, you can.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can.
But there is some element of feeling like a stereotypical granddad type of figure where you're like, ah, this is bad. Everything about my body says it's bad, but you all seem to like it, and I think you're wrong, but keep going.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And I mean, I do get a kick out of the special moves that you do that are all based around Disney World rides.
Anytime
one of those kicks in, I'm like, see, this rules.
There are elements of the combat, I think, that are what's keeping me playing. And it's those kind of like, you're in the fucking Mad Hatter's teacups bashing people over. You're in a pirate ship ride. Like, them swinging for the fences with that stuff is fun.
Yeah. The best moments for me are the ones where I'm going, this is awesome that this exists.
Yeah.
But then that literally is the only thing getting me through.
Yeah.
I think everything else just doesn't feel great to me. And yeah, the combat, I don't think it feels bad. It's just that weird floating weightlessness to it.
Yeah.
That leaves you at the end of a battle. You want to feel like, fuck yeah, I took out it. At the moment, it's just like, oh, well, that's done. You don't feel any kind of gratification for having done it.
Completely. It feels too much like one of the early sort of Disney licensed games.
Yes.
Post 3D revolution. Yep. Where it's like, this is just a fucking cereal packet game.
Totally.
There's nothing to this.
It does. Yeah. I think that's the best way of summing it up. That first section, especially the Olympus, like I remember thinking that at one point, this feels like when they were kind of figuring out how 3D platformers should work.
Yes.
And even before Mario 64, after Mario 64 had come out, where a bunch of companies went, well, we can't just do that.
Yeah.
Try and work out other ways we can do this. And then it's like, no, that really is sort of the most effective way of doing it for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It's not for us.
It's not for us. That's the thing. Yeah. The fact that it was hugely anticipated, has been very popular, and is getting solid reviews from the people that I said who is
genuinely well liked too.
Yeah.
People aren't lying about this, I don't think.
And like, I think the story stuff, like, sure, I'll take that aside. I'll allow people to be like, eh, it's convoluted and weird, but I like that about it.
Yeah. Mm.
That's a taste thing.
Mm.
The fact that it's a game that isn't particularly fun or exciting to play is the thing that is getting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're saying that it's Final Fantasy 15 with a coat of paint on it, but I mean, beyond the combat in Final Fantasy 15, moment to moment, you still are kind of navigating around and having to work your way around things, whereas this, like, you can't. You just walk further up the path and then more battles happen.
Final Fantasy 13.
Mm. Yes. Totally, yeah. It's dumbed down in every way.
Yeah, you still are having to kind of, go around and do a bit more stuff, whereas there's no, you really are on rails with this.
If you told me that this was a children's game.
I am telling you that right now.
Yeah.
I think that's how, I don't want to be condescending about it, but it feels like a game for children.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it.
I think they all are kind of meant to be.
Yeah, right.
And I would imagine that the people making this game probably
that's their goal?
Not very proud of themselves.
Yeah.
No, I would imagine that they've been trying to make a kids game this whole time, and I think they've succeeded at that.
So how long since the previous one?
Not that long since the actual most recent one.
Right.
But since 2, it's been like 15 years.
I mean, that's enough time for kids to grow up.
Yeah, but it's enough time for new kids to be born.
That's true.
Tell you what, Eddie, they're being born right now. Every time I click my fingers, a new child is born.
You what?
Yeah, what
Kyle. I nearly said Kyle.
Okay.
Probably is a person named Kyle born pretty regularly.
It sounds like you were going to say a new condom is breaking, giving birth to a beautiful child. That's our hot takes.
That's it.
None of us get it. None of us were there when it started, though.
Yes.
I did find myself to begin with enjoying it more than I thought. I was going to just give it a miss because I thought it absolutely won't be for me. And then I watched a video review and I was like, this actually looks pretty fun. Like, I'm into how weird all this is. I'm going to go in. And then the start, I'm like, yeah. And now, like, yeah, I don't hate it. It's just, it's like, I don't know. It's not compelling enough to...
We all need to play more of it, I guess. I kind of intend to play the rest of them someday for some reason. I don't know why. I think I just want to know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Have you ever like... It's like how people get obsessed with serial killer podcasts and all the Ted Bundy shit at the moment. Like you're not into it, but you want to know. There's some part of you that at the back of your brain...
morbid fascination.
You know that there's a bit of you that is a human being. There's a sliding doors version of me out there who cut his hair on his 12th birthday and bought Kingdom Hearts.
Right.
Just to differentiate me and the other version of myself.
Yeah.
And then we both get hit by a bus or whatever happens at the end of that movie. So the point is everyone can detect there's a little bit of a killer in them. So they're obsessed with Ted Bundy. And I can detect there's a little bit of a fucking stinky butthole in me who loves Kingdom Hearts 3.
I'd say you lost me, but you'd never even had me on that one.
that was almost as convoluted as this plot of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, boys, anything else? Anything else we've been playing?
Oh, yes. I've been playing...
You sizzled this in the chat. You said a surprise game.
Yeah. I've been playing a little game and hey... That analogy you just made?
Yeah.
Perfect. Because
I knew it! Don't go on. End the podcast here.
Okay.
As we say every week, I like it better, dumber, it's wetter. All right, go on. Say what you need to say.
I had a little sneaking suspicion that inside me there was a man who might like the game Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice.
Oh, no.
And I can tell you for facts... I do like it.
Oh.
I think it's really good. I love, in contrast to Kingdom Hearts 3, I love how cohesive the style is. It reminds me of God of War.
It's bad the whole time. Agreed. Yep.
It's so richly detailed.
It's worse than Kingdom Hearts.
The graphics are top notch.
The fidelity of the graphics is high.
I think the design is very good. I love how creepy it is. I love the enemies. I really like the atmosphere. I think it is very unsettling. I like the optical illusion puzzles that you have to do. The like
do
lateral
a magic
thinking
eye
stuff.
Book then, cunt.
I like the combat. I think it's challenging but simple.
Is the worst the part.
I love the storytelling.
The story
I love
is dog shit.
All of the sort of stuff that's like whispered and the little guides and the stuff that
so hacky.
There's this not, has
nothing,
to be a bit.
Nothing on screen.
This
that
must
is
be a bit.
Yeah, like going. Oh, here's a marker here. Here's a fucking compass. Here's a map.
Because you don't need it because it's so fucking boring. You just walk
release.
Forward.
Go through the world at your own pace and. I've really, really enjoyed it. I think it's a fantastic game. I think it's justifiably well
Hopefully
reviewed.
The punchline is coming from this bit.
And all of our
definitely
the acting that he's doing is worse even than in Hellblade Senua's with Sacrifice.
Yeah, all of our listeners who are like, I guess those guys have you know their opinion, but I disagree. I'm with all of those listeners who said that. I think it's a great game.
This review is making me feel like I have some of the mental issues of the main character in Hellblade.
What do you mean mental issues? The character's normal.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
No, but I am really liking it. I don't understand why you guys didn't like it. I genuinely don't understand.
You don't understand?
No, I think it's just a really good, simple
what do you
game.
Can't understand. I think that you're wrong about it, but I understand that you've been hit on the head at some point in your life.
No, I don't understand. What, like, it's at worst, like, a very simple game. At best, a very atmospheric, simple game.
I thought the atmosphere was so hacky and fucking bad, though. I thought every aspect of what it was trying to do... I think the idea of what it is cool, but I didn't think it hit any of the targets that it set up for itself.
So I'm getting out of it is like a very dark and atmospheric and unsettling Norse action game.
Okay.
That's what I get, and I like it.
I hated it, and I hate that... Everyone doesn't hate it.
Yeah, no one hates it except you two.
Nah, there's other people out there who hate it.
Yeah, there's other people.
We'll find them.
Yeah.
I'll go on a big trek and then have a
you've been
fucking shithouse ending as well.
You've been hearing them whisper in your ears.
Yeah. You're right about Adam.
You're not crazy, Adam. You're not mad.
This is the beginning of the new church that you and I run, Adam. We'll go around the countryside gathering these people up. They must be out there.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
And they're all probably insufferable, but...
but yeah, that's my other review for this week.
Well, how about that? One Hellblade fucking... What's the opposite of a denier?
Believer?
Yeah, that's the one. Now I see your face. Now I remember the word believer.
Keyblades and Hellblades. That's this episode.
Oh.
You know what else I hate about fucking Kingdom Hearts?
Oh, yeah.
You got a big Keyblade, bunch of giant treasure boxes with keyholes. To open it, he just whacks them on the top with the Keyblade.
I think that's the best thing about that game. It's so funny. If you made a game where he's holding a big key for the whole game and then he doesn't open a lock with it, good on you.
No, that's stupid.
I love it. Hellblade's the worst game of this generation. No, that's not true, probably.
I've flipped on Kingdom Hearts now because I don't want to agree with you on anything.
Fine.
All right, guys, we better wrap it up for another week. Thank you so much for joining us. filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find links to our Patreon. If you would like to support the show, you're welcome to do so. You get an additional episode every week.
Every single week.
$10.
Oh, yes.
Or more. It's also got links to our Bandcamp premium episodes that we do, all our social media stuff. That's where you can find us. We'll be back next week. But until then, as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Kingdom Hearts 3! I like it better. Down when it's wet. You got to put both together. I've technically done two in this episode.
All right, we'll give you next week off.
Nah, I need to be here. It's all I've got going on. That's not true. I'm too busy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.